Hi, my name is Chris A. I am a compulsive debtor. This recording is sponsored by the Sedona Into Action DA meeting. This recording is part of a series of telephone workshops called the Solvent Saturday series. The inspiration for this workshop series was to create a long-term resource for working the steps in Debtors Anonymous. It seemed fitting to us to find long-timers in DA with solvency to help us create this resource. Today's speaker is Jan S., and Jan will be speaking on Step Two: What's It Like to Be Sane with Money?
Thank you, Chris. My name is Jan. I'm a compulsive debtor. My solvency date, March 21st, 1996. My home group is the Solvent Saturday Group in Burlington, Vermont, the home of small but mighty DA. And I thought I'd start today, before I really get into the core of Step Two. Step Two in the Debtors Anonymous program reads, "Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity." Before I really get into the core of the step, I'd like to share a little vignette with you that kind of reflects something that happened to me very early on in my recovery that reflects the tack that I plan to take today in discussing this step. And back in 1996, when I first came to DA, I came to DA as a loner member. The nearest DA meeting was about 200 miles away. I had gotten three pamphlets from the General Service Office, and that was really my entire program at the time. There were no telephone meetings or online meetings at that time, although a couple of the online meetings would start up the next year. But I was really out there. I did get and stay solvent, but I'll tell you, it was a terrible, terrible, terrible time. I felt very alone. I was always right on the edge. And just I had come to DA very, very deeply in debt. I owed more money than I thought I could ever pay off in a lifetime. I was working part-time for kind of a low-tech sweatshop, and you know, I had never been able to pay my bills, and I was really a mess. I was in terrible shape, and I started this program, and I really didn't know how long I could stay solvent. And at some point, I found out that the Southern California Intergroup, based in Los Angeles, had a tape service. And so I wrote to them, and they sent me an order form. And in those days in Los Angeles, they had an old timers day every year. And they offered cassette tapes of these old timers days. And I remember there were three tapes for $10. And I was so desperate for any kind of contact with DA. I'd never met a single member of DA. I didn't really, I was doing everything on my own, that I wrote and wrote away for some of these tapes. And I remember I was so poor at the time that it would take me 2 or 3 months to save up $10, and I would then send $10 and get three tapes. And I would listen to those tapes till they completely fell apart, until I could get another $10 a few months later, and then I would get more. And that was really my program the first couple of years that I was doing DA. I did stay solvent, and probably the key reason that I did was that the experience, strength, and hope, and the inspiration I got from the old timers on those tapes. You know, being on my own, trying to work the DA program on my own, was extremely difficult. But when I heard people who had, in those days, a long timer in DA was maybe 10 to 15 years because we hadn't been around that long. But these were people who had gotten solvent in the early 80s, and they were still solvent. And they were, you know, they were just like me. I listened to these tapes, and these people had done, you know, the same insane things that I had done, the same crazy stuff. Only they had found a program of recovery. They'd found a way out. And I was so impressed. And I used to just, you know, during the cold, the long cold winters up here in the piney woods of northern Vermont, I would listen to these people talking about how they worked their program of recovery. And it gave me a kind of hope that I could get there someday too. These people had clearly had a spiritual awakening. They had had the same problems I had had with money. They had had the same insanity in their life, and it was not there anymore. They had had a personality change. And I was just so blown away by this. And many years later, I actually got to meet several of those people when I was involved in World Service and got to travel around the country and met a lot of the Angelinos, the other people from Southern California who I'd heard on these tapes, and I expressed my gratitude for that. But what that gave me was hope. And I call step two the step of hope. I don't think there is a step in our whole arsenal of 12 that gives us more hope than step two does. 2 weeks ago, we talked about step one. And step one is obviously the foundation of our program. We admit that we're a debtor. We stop debting. We admit that we cannot debt in safety. We cannot debt without serious consequences. And that's necessary for our recovery. We can't work the rest of the steps until we have completed step one. And yet it really leaves us out there hanging. It really leaves us bereft. We look around at the wreckage of our lives. We look around at this thing we've been doing for so many years, spending money we don't have, spending other people's money, not being self-supporting through our own contributions. We look at this wasteland, and we don't know how. We don't know how to live any other way. And so along comes step two. And with step two, that despair that we feel after taking step one gives way to hope. We don't have to look very far to find what insanity is and what sanity is. In taking step two, there's really two parts to this. The first part is that we need to admit that we're insane, and or that our actions, that the way we've been living has been insane, unhealthy, unsound. And then we have to somehow come to believe that we can be restored to sanity. A tall order if you've been living the way I was living, and I think many of us were living for many, many years. Fortunately, we don't have to look very far to find very clear and cogent DA definitions of what insanity is and what sanity is. It's right in our conference-approved literature. We don't have to make it up or do research or anything like that. The earliest members of Debtors Anonymous were very clear on what they saw as the core insanity of the disease. They called compulsive debting the disease of believing that there is not enough. And we come to this program, debtors, sometimes we make all these distinctions among ourselves, all these different symptoms. I'm an over this, or I'm an under that, or I'm a ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong, whatever. And our founders were very clear on identifying the core issue for all debtors, regardless of the symptoms of whether they spent too much money or not enough money or made too much or didn't make enough, et cetera, et cetera. And that core issue was the feeling that there is not enough, there will never be enough, I am not enough, there is not enough in the world for me, there will never be enough in the world for me. And that is the core issue that has haunted the lives of debtors since time immemorial. Right up there along with that is the second core characteristic of a compulsive debtor, which is that we don't know how to meet our real needs. We are unable to identify what our real needs are. Our emotions are in charge of our finances rather than our reason being in charge of our finances. We spend great deals of money on things that that are meant to stave off loneliness or fear or resentment instead of spending that on our own needs. So that was the core understanding of the early members. As DA came into the early 90s, the fellowship wanted to put down into words, into writing, a more comprehensive definition of what the real insanity of the disease is. So they went to the fellowship. They went out to the fellowship as a whole. The World Service Conference asked DA members everywhere to tell them what exactly debting had done to them, how it had blighted their life, what forms of craziness or insanity had debting brought into their lives. And so people from all over the fellowship sent in, they actually came up with about 40 different symptoms. Those were later kind of boiled down and combined into 12, and they're what is known today as the 12 signposts on the road to becoming a compulsive debtor. So I'm going to read these, and we can just listen, and if you're like me, you're probably going to find that you relate to quite a few of them, or that you have, this has been the way you've lived. So the 12 signs of compulsive debting. 1, being unclear about your financial situation, not knowing account balances, monthly expenses, loan interest rates, fees, fines, or contractual obligations. 2, frequently borrowing items such as books, pens, or small amounts of money from friends and others and failing to return them. 3, poor savings habits, not planning for taxes, retirement, or other non-recurring but predictable items, and then feeling surprised when they come due. A live for today, don't worry about tomorrow attitude. 4, compulsive shopping, being unable to pass up a, quote, good deal, making impulsive purchases, leaving price tags on clothes so they can be returned, not using items you've purchased. 5, difficulty in meeting basic financial or personal obligations and or an inordinate sense of accomplishment when such obligations are met. 6, a different feeling when buying things on credit than when paying cash, a feeling of being in the club, of being accepted, of being grown up. 7, living in chaos and drama around money, using one credit card to pay another, bouncing checks, always having a financial crisis to contend with. 8, a tendency to live on the edge, living paycheck to paycheck, taking risks with health and car insurance coverage, writing checks hoping money will appear to cover them. 9, unwarranted inhibition and embarrassment in what should be a normal discussion of money. 10, overworking or under-earning, working extra hours to earn money to pay creditors, using time inefficiently, taking jobs below your skill and education level. 11, an unwillingness to care for and value yourself, living in self-imposed deprivation, denying your basic needs in order to pay your creditors. And 12, a feeling or hope that someone will take care of you, if necessary, that you won't really get into serious financial trouble, that there will always be someone you can turn to. And so those signposts are really the measure of our insanity. That is, not all of us qualify for all 12, but most of us qualify for quite a few of them. So I remember the first time I saw the signposts coming to Debtors Anonymous and not even realizing that they were identifying the insanity of the disease. I remember looking at the signpost and thinking, oh, well, that's the way I live. That's just the way I've always done things. It never occurred to me that what I was actually crazy, and that the unhappiness that I had about my financial life and all the crises that I was in continually had to do with the fact that this was the way I lived. When we start to recover in Debtors Anonymous, when we begin our recovery, the first thing we can do is every once in a while pick up a copy of the signposts and take a look and see how we're changing. Because these slowly but gradually begin to change. When we keep our numbers in DA for a while, for example, we're no longer unclear about our situation. We know what our account balances are. We know what our monthly expenses are. Before we deal with a loan, a secured loan, we find out what the interest rates are, et cetera, et cetera. We start saving for taxes. We pay our taxes on time. We open an IRA. I opened my first IRA at age 51, just a year after coming to the program. On and on it goes. And we can run down this entire list. Over time, as we become saner, we no longer have difficulty in meeting our basic financial or personal obligations. We no longer feel like we're Mr. Big Shot when we do what everybody else is doing. We start feeling like a grown-up when we pay cash, not when we use a credit card. And I can go on and on and on and on with that. But the next step in our recovery, and this is also directly in our conference-approved literature, when we begin to really, really get some serious time in recovery, some time in solvency, then the promises start coming true for us in our lives. And I think it's really instructive to take a minute and talk about how the 12 promises of DA evolved, because it's a fascinating story. Back in the later part of the 90s, DA did not have promises of its own. Some groups were using kind of a bootleg version of the AA promises from the AA Big Book without permission. Finally, the DA General Service Board went to Alcoholics Anonymous World Services and asked for permission to adopt the 12 promises of AA as our own and adopt them for Debtors Anonymous. And in the past, AA had been extremely generous in granting permission to adapt the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts for World Service for DA's use. We did not expect any problem with this in getting the right to use AA's promises. And to our shock, but ultimately to our benefit, the AA World Services told us they denied us permission to use the AA promises. And what they said was that you are your own fellowship. You have a unique experience in the world. Your recovery program produces a unique recovery. And it makes no sense to use our promises. You as a fellowship, as you go along, as the years go by, will develop promises of your own, promises that are based solidly in your own experience in Debtors Anonymous. And a lot of people were very upset at the time that we did not get permission. It turns out to be one of the the best things that has ever happened to Debtors Anonymous, because we did have to then develop our own promises. And this time, instead of going to the entire fellowship, we went out and asked the long-term members of DA, people who had many years of solvency, to review their experience and talk about what had happened to them as the result of being solvent for many years. And once again, they wrote in and sent in a whole bunch of things, and we kind of boiled them down and into 12. And we came up with the 12 promises of Debtors Anonymous. I was thrilled to have been a brand new GSR in 2001 when these came up for conference approval. And it was just the most amazing feeling in our fellowship that year when we finally had promises of our own. But the 12 promises of Debtors Anonymous are really the way we measure our sanity. These promises have come true for a great many people in our fellowship who have made solvency not just a quick fix, but a way of life, who've remained solvent for many years. So I'm going to read the 12 promises, and we can use this as a way of looking at what real sanity would be, what it would really be like to be sane with money on a high level. So these are the 12 promises of DA. In the program of Debtors Anonymous, we come together to share our journey in recovering from compulsive debting. There is hope. In working DA's 12 steps, we have developed new ways of living. When we work DA's 12 steps and use DA's tools, we begin to receive these gifts of the program. 1. Where once we felt despair, we will experience a newfound hope. 2. Clarity will replace vagueness. Confidence and intuition will replace confusion and chaos. We will live engaged lives, making decisions that best meet our needs and become the people we were meant to be. 3. We will live within our means, yet our means will not define us. 4. We will begin to live a prosperous life unencumbered by fear, worry, resentment, or debt. 5. We will realize that we are enough. We will value ourselves and our contributions. 6. Isolation will give way to fellowship. Faith will replace fear. 7. We will recognize that there is enough. Our resources will be generous, and we will share them with others and with DA. 8. We will cease to compare ourselves to others. Jealousy and envy will fade. 9. Acceptance and gratitude will replace regret, self-pity, and longing. 10. We will no longer fear the truth. We will move from hiding in denial to living in reality. 11. Honesty will guide our actions toward a rich life filled with meaning and purpose. 12. We will recognize power greater than ourselves as the source of our abundance. We will ask for help and guidance and have faith that it will come. All this and more is possible when we work this program with integrity and to the best of our ability, one day at a time. A life of prosperity and serenity will be ours. I remember vividly the first time that I read these promises, thinking quite early on in my DA time, and thinking, my God, how could any of that ever come true for me? How could any of that? That just seems so far beyond anything that could ever happen to me. And yet, I remember also vividly the first of those promises. One day I realized that it had come true for me, 1 out of 12. And I thought, oh my God, I really am being restored to sanity. I really am changing. I really am seeing the world in a different way. And one by one, those promises came true in my life. You'll notice that in two places, it addresses directly the concerns of the early DA members, the belief or feeling that there's not enough. Promise number 5 says, we will realize that we are enough. We will value ourselves and our contributions. Promise number 7, we will recognize that there is enough. And John H., the founder of DA, and the other DA members used to talk about the most profound thing that had happened to them in their own recovery as they started to develop some long-term solvency. And each time, they would phrase it a little differently, but each time they would say, I feel like I'm becoming the person that God meant me to be. I feel like I'm doing the things that I was created to do. And right here in Promise 2, it talks about we are becoming the people we were meant to be. So let's get back to the dilemma of the person who's pretty new in DA, who has admitted they're a debtor, and who has stopped debting. How do you go from a lifestyle in which those 12 signposts are part of your everyday life to a life in which the 12 promises are part of your everyday life? How do we do that? How do we accomplish that? We do that in three ways. We do that in three, basically in three steps. First of all, we look around us in Debtors Anonymous and we see other people being restored to sanity. Very early on, I knew that I needed to spend a lot of time hanging around the old timers in the program because these were the people who were changing in this way. These were the people who, you know, were reflecting those promises in their life. I knew I had to spend a lot of time with them. And just as 9 years before I came to DA, I had walked into my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, unable to stop drinking, and I'd walked into that meeting, and I saw people who no longer drank and whose lives were very different. And it was at that moment when I saw that others had accomplished this that I was able to stop drinking. Fast forward 9 years, and I arrive in Debtors Anonymous, and here are people who have stopped debting and for whom the promises have come true in their lives and who have apparently been restored to sanity, who are no longer doing all those crazy, insane things that at one time seemed normal to them. As I look today, I look at those 12 signposts, which at one time seemed so normal to me. They just seemed the way my life always had been and probably always would be. And I look at those and I really want to vomit. I cannot imagine going back and living that way. And I don't ever have to, as long as I don't debt. So we begin this process of transformation by finding people in Debtors Anonymous who have been restored to sanity, who are being restored to sanity. The second phase of this is we do what they did. The thing that has struck me about people who have these qualities in their life has been that they're all doing the same thing. They're all not debting one day at a time. They're all doing service. They're all working the 12 steps. They're all using the 12 tools as auxiliaries to help them in their step work. In the final phase of being restored to sanity comes over a much longer period of time. As we begin doing the same things that the people around us who've been restored to sanity are doing, and we start to be restored to sanity ourselves. And one day we wake up and the 12 signposts, that way of life appears to be a very, very bizarre, distant world to us. It appears to be, you know, another universe long ago and far away. And the way of life that's talked about in the promises has become our everyday life. How do we immerse ourselves? Oh, I wanted to say one more thing about the promises. And this is really important. The thing I like best about the promises is that they are precisely that. They are promises. They are not gimmicks dreamed up by a public relations agency to get people to come to DA meetings. They're not things that people, you know, wish would come true or sort of vaguely hope would come true. They're actually, they represent the experience of a great many of our long-term members who have not deaded in a long period of time, who've worked the other 11 steps, and who, as a result, have had a profound personality change and spiritual awakening so that, in fact, they live in that world of the promises. How do we immerse ourselves in this new way of life, and how do we find people? I often hear people say, well, there's no old timers in my group. You know, there's no people who have long-term solvency. And so I'm going to suggest some things that that are a help in that area. Back in 2008, the long-range planning committee of the General Service Board was discussing how to provide the fellowship with a stronger idea of how we actually work our recovery program. The DA recovery program is very clear and spelled out in our literature, but what we are lacking, is present in AA and other fellowships that was not present in our fellowship, were the personal stories of how individuals from many, many different backgrounds could work, could take the basic principles, adopt them to their own situation, and use them to recover. You know, since 99, we'd had a book, the first edition of our Currency of Hope, which I think most people are aware was not a very good book. I won't get into the whole story of how it was produced, but it was, let's just say it was the best we could do at the time. And there are a handful of stories that have some real recovery in the book. But unfortunately, the vast majority of stories did not describe how people worked a recovery program. There's a lot of woo-woo. There's a lot of, you know, I've been in DA a week, my grandmother died and left me $1 million, now I'm rich, that kind of thing. And so the long-range planning committee, the board, said what we need to do is have DA members who have recovered, who have long-term recovery, begin to tell how they use the principles of the program in their own lives, how they use the steps, how they use the tools. And that went to the conference for approval in 2008. It was approved, we started collecting recovery stories. We started collecting stories from long-term members. Those stories spent several years on the website. We got 23 long-term members to write their stories. And last year, they replaced a lot of the weaker stories in the second edition of Currency of Hope. And so for the first time in our history, DA really has a book that describes in great detail the process of recovery. Of what we actually do, how we actually use the steps, how we actually use the tool to have a recovery that is lasting, and that is a way of life for us. I cannot recommend the book strongly enough. If you don't have a copy of the second edition, I'm gonna strongly recommend that you get it and read it, because it really allows us to see how these promises come true in our lives. I think it's also important to note that the currency of hope has the new version of the currency of hope has enormous diversity in it. The writers in the book cover just about every lifestyle, just about every profession, just about every way of life, every income category. It is racially diverse, linguistically diverse, geographically diverse, so that virtually any debtor can find stories in there that relate directly to them. The other thing about the book is that it's very current. Most of the people whose stories in the book are, although people don't have their names attached to the stories, but these are all people that people know. They're people who are doing service, many on the national level, many at the World Service Conference, some on the General Service Board, some in all the intergroups around the country. And these are real people. These are real people who came in just like everybody else and started to work a program of recovery and have had a lot of success on that. What other resources do we have? I often hear people say in DA, gee, you know, we don't have enough examples of real recovery. For several years, in Ways and Means, our national newsletter, we were running the stories of long-time members. I think that stopped a couple of years ago, but the back issues are all on the website, very easily accessed. And once again, this is a way to immerse ourselves in the stories of many people in DA who have really, real long-term recovery. I still remember vividly, my sponsor telling me in DA that I had all these excuses about why I couldn't not debt, and I had to pay off all my debts right away, and I had to do all this right away, and I'll never forget him looking at me and saying, you know, I really don't care about you paying off your debts quickly. I really don't care about you making a lot of money. I really don't care about all these things. He said, what I'm really concerned about is that you have a change of personality and a spiritual awakening. He said, I want you to be a person who is reliable, a person who keeps commitments, a person who faces reality and acts appropriately, a person who acts like a grown-up instead of a king baby of the debtor, a person who has courage, and a person whose life is full of gratitude. And, as I proceeded in my recovery, I of course didn't like to hear that from him. I didn't want to hear that. I just wanted, somebody to cut me a big fat check. I just wanted somebody to pay off my debts. I just wanted to be out of trouble, out of agony, out of all the pain, and just go back to doing what I was doing. But today, I'm so glad that he took that tack with me. I'm so glad that he pointed me in the direction of a spiritual awakening and of a personality change that has made me a completely different person today. It has made me the kind of person who has those qualities. As I did that, I found the money pretty much took care of itself. As I became saner, as I became more responsible, I was more in demand. I was more in demand as an employee. I was more in demand as a friend. I was more in demand as a recovery partner. People were kinder to me. People wanted to be part of my life more. And that's really why DA ultimately, we have the saying in DA, it's about the money, but it's not really about the money. It's about so much more than the money. That DA is really about being restored to sanity. And step two is the gateway to sanity for all of us. So I'm going to end a little early here. I don't need to use the full time. I do hope that many of you on the call will share your experience with step two. I'd love to hear your experience with the second step. And I'd also love to hear any comments you have or be willing to answer any questions that you have. I also, once again, want to thank Chris and Bob and the others from the Sedona group for giving me this opportunity to speak on steps one and two. I look forward, I'm kind of rotating off now, and we'll have a number of other longtime DA members speaking on the remainder of the 12 steps. I'll be very interested in hearing their takes on steps 3 and 4 and 5 and all the way down through 12. So, Chris, I'm going to turn it back to you, and we'll be very glad to hear from as many people.